Stay tuned, stay tuned, stay tuned. I am here with the coach, John Brent.
And I'm here with the vet, Mr. N. Griffin. And we got a fire going.
We got a fire going. We got Cowboy Cup here, even though they're not done anything.
You know, that's America's team. We're going
to
debate that.
As it should be. You know, we're closer to the draft. But anyway, so moving along, we're going to ask some, talk about what we're doing, just a fun podcast today. So, coach. What is one group or two groups or person that you listen to that nobody would ever think you listen to?
Well, it could be a very easy one for me. First of all, I'm going to throw something at you. You sent me a funny text about 2 or 3 weeks ago. It said, somebody's going on tour. And you were being funny with me. And you said, who was it? You said, John Brent. I just heard they released their tour dates. It was Nickelback.
Nickelback.
I told my wife that night. Now we got Nickelback tickets for the whole family.
Oh, my gosh.
One of the best concerts I ever went to. I hate to say that. I went years ago to see Nickelback and Trapped in 3 Days Grace in Grand Prairie. And I remember sitting there going, I cannot believe this is Nickelback just blowing the stage away. It was great. So we're going to go. But I have to say, that is one group that I've always thought, why did they get such a bad rap? And so I do like Nickelback.
Okay.
That is one. But I think a lot of people wouldn't look at me and go, I can't believe he likes Post Malone. I'm a postie guy.
Really?
Yeah.
So, wow. So I'm a little different. We're going to a concert too, a concert that we have been waiting for years to have the opportunity to go, and they release tickets. And it's a weird concert because it's a ticket on a Friday and it's a ticket on a Sunday. And they have different open acts on Friday and they have different open acts on Sunday. And it's a world tour, and you could buy the ticket and go in this town on Friday, and you could go in this town on Sunday, or you could do the Sunday one a couple months later. We're going to see Metallica.
Oh, have you ever seen them?
Never seen
them. Oh, my gosh, I have.
I've sat before many convoys the night before, counting my bullets, cleaning them all up and cleaning my weapon, listening to Metallica, getting mentally ready to go, and been waiting to see it. And so on the first night, I'm going to get the bands wrong, but I know most of them. They got Ice Nine Knives, and they have Pantera opening up for them. And on the next night, they have Wolfgang Van Halen, and they have Five Finger Death Punch.
What's this going to be?
We're going to Arlington.
Okay.
But we really thought about when we go to Europe to do it over there, but I'm like, it would be a madhouse over there.
Probably would be. Yeah, I saw them the first time at the old Texas Jam. They were just one of the opener guys there, and then I saw them years later.
So my wife's not a big rock fan, but she's like, I want to see Metallica. So we said we would fly to see Metallica. So that's who we're going to go see. But my this will blow people's minds, who I like to listen to that nobody would ever think. And it was because of my time in Germany when I wrote my book, Kylie Minogue, me and the grandson dance in the shower, Kylie Minogue, Can't Get You Out of My Head, In Your Eyes, Love at First Sight, and all that.
If I had one that probably that, you know, like a female that people think there's no, I've always been a huge Alanis Morissette fan.
Really?
Yeah, and I still to this day, when it comes on, hand in my pocket, I'm just all singing every lyric.
So Alanis Morissette, I liked her, but after you listen to two songs, they all sound the same.
She was pretty upset. But
she was upset.
The really cool thing about that, she wrote all those songs in the spiral notebook. It was in a backpack.
Wow.
And she got mugged and was trying to get mugged or whatever. And that backpack was something that she was going to hang on to. Wow. And all those songs that she wrote in there was on that first album that made her famous.
Wow.
It was like the story's more than I'm telling.
Yeah.
But it was like everything was on this one spiral that was trying that almost got stolen.
So I'm a Kylie Minogue, and I like Robbie Williams, stuff like Feel, Come Undone. But all that came out when I was in Europe with my wife, and it was popular on the airways, and it was cool.
I've always just been a huge blues fan. A lot of people don't like blues anymore, but I mean, I'm like the old school 60s and 70s blues from, you know, all the Kings and Buddy Guy and all those guys. I always thought was just amazing, especially when I was playing guitar and I got into Stevie Ray. And I was like, why did Stevie Ray become, you know, he's from Texas, from Dallas, and his brother was in one of those like pop bands. Mm-hmm. Why did he become blues? And then just come to find out he got into all those old blues acts through Jimi Hendrix and Buddy Guy and all that. So, but I tell you one thing that probably people would probably laugh at is I get on my cell phone a lot and I'm like sitting around doing something or whatever, and I start looking at American Idol and America's Got Talent. Like
really?
The very first, the first time they're on there, and they're like coming in there dressed in jeans and old t-shirt, and they look like, oh my, this person is going to suck. and then they just, wow. So I've always told my wife Linda, I was like, you know what, you can teach somebody to play the guitar, the piano, you can teach somebody how to build a house, you can teach somebody how to be a mechanic, but you cannot teach people how to sing. Either you can sing or you can't sing.
Yeah, I can't.
So, you know, of course, neither can I, but I'm saying it's just funny. You see some guy come to a guitar and he pops locked all like he's crazy, and all of a sudden he's like, where did that voice come from? So I like that.
So I'm the opposite. I can honestly tell you, now I watched it when we was in Germany, they had the same style of it, and they had a guy that he won a lot. I think his name was Michael, and he won a lot, but he couldn't sing. But he had all the stage charisma. The big thing in Germany, he put on Nina, the 99 Luck Balloons.
Yeah.
She loaned him the pants that she had in concert, and he wore them pants on
there. He could fit them?
Okay. Yeah, it was a little weird, but he did it great. Stage charisma, but he couldn't sing much of that. And every one of them told him that.
And I will tell you this, I've gotten even deeper than you talking about Europe is, if you watch America's Got Talent, they don't just do it in America, they do it all over the world. So they'll get on stage, and be this guy from like Britain or, you know, from Essex. And he has this huge... accent, and then he starts singing a song and he loses the accent. So he doesn't sing, there's no British accent, it sounds like an American singer. I'm like, how does that happen?
So this is something I'll say. I can honestly say that I've watched less than an hour of any of those in America.
Combined.
In America. But one thing I do like watching is I like watching the Graham Norton show. Clips from that.
Never seen one.
He's the British guy that brings Americans on.
I've seen it.
He's hilarious. And he's always...
Interview, they're on the couch. Interview.
I've never seen something bad, like, okay, he sucked at this. No, everything, he's always good. It's just pleasant to watch.
Yeah, I've seen that. So they play clips on the on Facebook or whatever.
So that's one. So, Coach, where are you going this year? Going anywhere special?
I have a show coming up in June. Okay. And so I'm going to kind of lead it with that. So right now I'm in a bulking stage. In about 3 or 4 weeks, I'll start getting ready for about 18 weeks for a show, June 17th in Dallas. It's a pretty big men's physique show. And then 4 days after we leave on our vacation, I always plan it that way. Mm-hmm. 4 days later, we're going to leave and fly from Dallas to San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Uh-oh.
And then we're going to take some kind of shuttle over to about 40 minutes from there to this little part of this, which right on the beach, headed towards the Virgin Islands. So
cool.
Never done that. With the wife, it's kind of funny. We've talked about going to Europe. You know, we've been to Cancun a couple of times, flown up to... But she's not a big flyer. So she's like, okay, we went 3 hours and 30 minutes. Okay, let me add an hour to it. So we're going 4:30 here. Because if you go to Europe from Dallas, it's what? Nine?
9 hours.
Yeah, she's not doing nine.
One's nine and one's 11.
Even her doctor, which is one of our best friends, said, I will go with you and I'll medicate you on the way there and on the way back because we're good friends with them too. And she's like, I just can't do nine. It's like, my God, you got a doctor going to be flopping pills at you? Come on, let's go.
Wow.
And so where are you going this summer?
So this, we're waiting until the tail end of the summer till college starts because we got a boy that graduates and he has a birthday in the summer. He'll be 18. And we just got into a new house and we're going to enjoy the pool this year. And we're about a week or two after he gets into college, we're heading to Europe. We're going to go late summer, fall to Europe. And we're probably going to do 2 months there again. If we don't do 2 months, and we really hadn't planned.
Where do you stay when you go to Europe for 2 months?
So, well, we have in-laws. So I stay at their house the majority of the time.
And that's Germany.
That's in Germany. And so we haven't plotted out. This is kind of weird. Normally we had plotted out. We originally were going to go to Norway, but the shore excursions were like, $1,800. And I'm like, okay, we're not doing all that. So we're probably going to go hit some big cities that we hadn't hit, and probably like in Poland. So I don't really know where all we're going.
Well, I'm going to tell you, dude, you've seen Chris's Vacation.
Yes.
Cousin Eddie.
Yeah.
Okay. I think I'm about to be Cousin Eddie and show up on you. Just going to take a flight over there and say, Ian, guess who's at the airport? Come pick me up for a few weeks. My wife won't fly and I got no place to stay.
Yeah, we'll go Castle Trolloping.
I'll do it.
And to be honest, you know, so Oktoberfest starts. People think Oktoberfest is October. But it's actually the last week of September. And it only goes into like 4 days in October.
That's crazy.
So that's when Oktoberfest, we'll be there during Oktoberfest season.
Yeah.
We'll be there during the fall. It'll start to drizzle a little bit on us, but most of the time it'll start to be beautiful outdoor restaurants. So we're just going to go over here.
Maybe you got to go to an NFL game. They're having about four or five of them in their first few weeks.
I want to go to soccer.
No, I love, you know what? One of my things in my bucket list, we talk about it, is I've always been a huge Manchester United fan.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I've always said I want to go to Manchester Stadium, yeah, watch them play either like Liverpool or Manchester City or Leeds or something like that. It's just huge, big rivalry games. And because, you know, before we have everything now on TV where you can record it and all that, just, you know, 25 years ago, they started doing the EPL, English Premier League, but they would play it on Fox at the actual hour of come on. And unless you had a VCR, you didn't record it. So a friend of mine, Elliot Nicholas, we would tell each other, hey, at 1 a.m. tomorrow night or 2 a.m. tomorrow morning, you know, Manchester is going to play Liverpool. And be like, oh, my gosh. So I'd set an alarm at like 1:45 in the morning. Have to go to work the next day, get up and watch it, go back to sleep. That's how much I got into it at that time. But, man, to go there and see a soccer
game. I want to go see a professional soccer game in Europe. I want to sit with the rowdy crowd. They can paint me. They can paint my boobs. I don't care. Whatever they do.
But I'm telling you right now, if I fly over there, I'll take shirt off. You'll take shirt off.
I'll take shirt off.
Let's do it.
Body paint. On
that. I'll fly over there. I don't even need a place to stay one night, and I'll fly back.
I just want to go. And so I just want to go. And I don't care if I get the cheap seat or what. I just want to be and smell everybody.
Well, I'm this close to going to the AFC Championship game. Not because I could have bought a ticket, just drove myself. I was going to do it. But my wife's family used to have season tickets, and they're huge Bills fans. They live right there in East Aurora, Orchard Park and area. And so her cousin Doug and I became good friends. He had to come down here for a case he was doing. He's legal accountant. So when somebody does something illegal, white collar, they call this guy, he figures it out. But he was doing a trial down here in Tyler, Texas, from Buffalo, really. Anyway, so after we went to the Bills Chiefs game this year, and the Bills won, he said, well, maybe they'll see it again. And he goes, well, if it keeps going the way it's going to be, it's going to look like the game will be in Orchard Park. I'll buy the ticket. You take the flight up here. So when they had all that weirdness happen with Hamlin, he went ahead and pre-bought the Joe Burrow tickets, as I call them, in Atlanta. And he sent me the text that said, I got you covered, buddy. So I was that close to getting to go to that. And then, of course, that flipped. But I would love to go to an EPO game. Not just go see them here when they're playing somebody in the States. I want to go over that atmosphere.
You got to go to Europe and do it. And so we plan on going close to 60 days and coming back.
Good Lord.
And then we're thinking about going at the end of November for 2 weeks just for the Christmas markets. Because if you've been to Europe, you know it is unbelievably beautiful. It is gorgeous. And they have them in every town. And it's
what do they call those?
Chris Kindle markets.
Chris Kindle. And I remember you and I talked about that when we went to Fredericksburg.
Yes.
Talking about that.
And so we want to go do that and drink the wine, the blue vine, and all that other stuff, and have all the treats. And
I'm telling you right now, you're going to get a call from the airport and go, there's a guy here that says he knows you, Mr. Griffin. And he says his name is John Brent. He needs a ride.
Yeah, I'm going to say, go downstairs to the train.
And I'm going to be staying outside. I'm going to be standing outside with holding two tickets to the Manchester game. Says, we're going, buddy. And you're watching me going, I can't believe him. Get him out of here.
I'm going to say, go get on the train. I'll keep on the train station.
There you go.
Because they have it at the bottom of the airport. Right?
Oh, goodness.
Yeah. Cool. So those are things that we're planning on doing.
I can't believe it's 2023.
Yeah. And we have to do that this year, because next year we had our 25th anniversary. Mm. And we're doing something big. I don't know what that is yet. So I don't know what big is. But so.
It looks like at some point in time, it looks like, you know, my daughter, the youngest daughter, is deciding that she's either going to go to Stephen F. Austin or she's going to Air Force.
Really?
Yeah.
As a trooper? As an airman?
My sister was in the Air Force and they talked or whatever, but she may be doing that. No. I don't know yet. They never know. For one day, I mean, she's going to be a teacher one day. It's just this, I don't know.
Yeah.
I just hope they leave the house.
We all want that. So other than that, those are some things that are going on. I got another book coming out, and this will be coming out soon.
Yes.
It finally went through editing. I'm sending it off after this weekend to publish it. I'm going to listen to it one time. I got where you can review it and it'll read it, but it does one sentence at a time. Make sure it sounds good. And I'm going to listen to the whole book that way. So it'll take me a long time. And then once I'm done with that, I'm sending it off, giving them my pennies. Kind of weird on my way over here. Not a spy book, not a Rick and Concha book, but I was like, this one book I've been kind of wanting to write. I said, I kind of got it mapped out. I'm like, I'll probably knock that thing out here soon.
Yeah, I can't just knock one out, you know. So I think I'll just keep knocking out. Well, I think this might be my last physique show. We'll see. I've said that about 3 times in a row. But
I will say this, is when I wrote the first book, I would say, I just want to get to 200 pages. And now after you do your first book, and now I'm like 200 pages is chump change. And you don't realize that until you've done it. I'll say that.
So when you actually, that's what I'm going to ask you, I'll ask it on here. When you write, like on Microsoft Word, you fill up a whole page. How many pages does that fill up in a book, do you think? That's a lot of words.
So my Microsoft Word was, this one here is 220 pages or something like that. And that's what the manuscript came out close to. But I had a double space, but then I had a single space, but then you move it to 6x9. So about the same.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. Wow, so just like a lot of writing. The book number 3 I wrote was 540.
Because I had to write 100 pages, actually 102 pages for my master's. Mm-hmm. And I thought, my gosh, I might just want to quit school.
You and me, same boat. As they said 75, and I overachieved. I did 143 for my master's. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, that was so painful. And so when I wrote my first book, I'm like, if I could just get to 200 pages. But after that, after you get to write and you kind of build your characters up, especially if it's a book that's going to be a series, then it's just dialogue. It's just the conversation. It's the,
yeah,
all that. It's just laying that out.
And it goes longer than you think, because conversations do take longer when you write them.
Well, that, and you get to embellish things. It's like, you know, what are you having for coffee today? I'm having this. Where you would say something like 20 sentences on that. Like, what are you having?
Well, I know 2 years ago you said, well, this year we're both going to write a book. And I didn't write crap. And you just finished 3, about to go to 4. And a couple of times I started to, but see, the deal is, I never read completely a fiction book in my life, ever.
You gotta do it.
So I'm a nonfiction guy.
But that's how I was.
And that's what I'm gonna do, is I wanna write a nonfiction, but then that takes sources and references and all that. And I'm like, I don't think I'll ever write a book.
So this is, I was where 7/8 of everything I've read in my life has been straight historically factual.
Does that help you write just because you kind of have a background? Or?
I don't know about that.
Like, if I were to write about something that happened in Dallas in 1963, I could use the whole what went on in Dallas in 1963 politically and with the assassination and all that. But that would be what I really want to write about anyway.
I wrote a historical, in the book, I wrote historically about this spy organization, Red Army Faction, which is, you can go research it, it's all true.
Yeah.
But I didn't have to put the footnotes in it and all this other stuff because it's fiction.
That's what I'm saying. That's why when I started to put some words on the page and it was going to be nonfiction, I started thinking, God, this is going to be 17 pages of freaking footnotes and references and all that.
So one thing about writing, though, I was asked this the other night on the book corner by DC Gomez, what's the one advice you give writers? Because I was not a writer. I will say that. And my advice is just do it. And so if you're worried about writing and you say, I can't do this, find something that you want or you like to write about that you can incorporate in a story and just write that. You can plug it in at any time. You can slide it in the bottom, slide it in the top. You sit there and you can, okay, I changed the name of this person instead of me, to a character, and they went through all this here. Find something that was interesting in your life that you did. You know, I'm about to write in the book about my kids actually swam across the Mine River. And the Mine River is 2.5 to 3 football fields length.
Wow.
Okay. We didn't know about this till like 10 years later. They swim across. I would have whooped all their butts.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
terrifying.
And they have these river barges that are 230 feet long that come bring undertow. And our son, Mark, he talks about this. He told Mom, said, yeah, it sucked me under. But luckily, the neighbor guy that was an adult that was swimming with us reached down and grabbed me at the last minute. And we're like, oh my God. So, that there gave me the idea to put that in a book to say, hey, the parents realize the kids are going to try to swim across the river. Maybe let's get that out of their head. Let's just swim across the river with them while they're supervised. And then it's done and they won't be so.
That sure reminds me of a story.
But then you can write it.
I know. And like Danielsville State Park. You ever go to Danielsville State Park, had that pier out there. Everybody would swim out to the pier. But every once in a while, we would go from the pier to the other side. And then the other side back to the pier. Just recently, I took Austin and Sydney out there about 2 years ago, and I looked at it and I go, oh my God, that is so far.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's the older I've gotten, thinking I'm fearful of everything, but we should have died at least 3 or 4 years
ago.
Some stupid stuff like that. And had no parents around either. I mean, they'd have got to call, hey, you got a dead body over your son's floating.
I'm surprised we didn't get a call. Our boy was in the river, you know?
Maybe it's better that we have these hovering helicopter parents now, keeping everybody alive.
But that's where you should start writing a story like that.
Yeah, I'll start out that. I don't know. There's one day.
And then embellish it. Like maybe somebody did, you know, that happened. Or, you know.
Interesting.
And then you pick up from there and you go, you know what? I can write.
I wish I could write on the treadmill. Because that's going to be an hour and a half of my day.
You got to get one of those speaking programs.
Oh, I could do that. But it'll be done in about 35, 45 minutes. Yeah. No, she uses it at work. My wife does.
Yeah, but when you're on the treadmill, just stick to one story, make that a chapter, and then do another.
I never thought about that. She uses it, the dictation program on her computer, so they can take notes for their patients. And so that would be good. Have you ever tried that?
No.
You might write 13 books next year. If you did that, you just
don't. Because I will tell you on the way up here, I'm speaking it out in my mind. Now, I'm actually talking in the truck, nobody listening to me, you know, just me. Yeah. And I'm sitting there going, I need this, I need this for this.
See, that's when you should have your recording on your phone so you don't forget half of it.
I know.
You got to do that now.
I know. So.
Okay. Never mind. We'll talk about
the coach has to write a book this year.
I might talk a book. I'm going to talk a book.
Coach has to write a book this year.
Can I do a book on tape?
I don't know.
That's what I need to do.
The audio book costs me or something.
Oh, so, of course it does, because it's easier.
So anyway, we want to hear where you're going this year. And,
what are you doing? What's up?
We want to hear who you listen to that you don't want nobody to know you listen to. Mm-hmm. You know, stuff like that. Nickelback or Kylie Minogue.
I can't believe when you sent that to us within 24 hours, we have about five Nickelback. I'm just saying, right? I'm just like, wow.
So, from the coach
to the bed.
It's time to stay tuned, stay tuned, stay tuned.